if I do have one, there are these are ones that go into an iPhone and I don't go into anything else.
Right.
This is all part of the AI zombie apocalypse that's coming. And so welcome everybody to Big Time Rush. Big Time Rush. I almost did that again. Welcome everybody. Big Time Rush is that band, is the boy band that I'm obsessed.
That's why.
Yeah.
You're just so used to screaming that out after
masturbate.
Oh my God, what if you yell that every time?
So it's weird because I see them as like little like brothers or cousins or whatever, because they're like 32. So I mean it's still in my age range. But because I watched them on Nickelodeon and like they're all silly and I watched it with my daughter, it's like I don't see him like that, but that's so gross.
Okay.
Maybe.
I don't know how old they are.
They're like 32.
Oh.
I mean, it's not bad. It's in the same age range. But I was looking at their girlfriends. So I guess I am obsessed. I was looking at their girlfriends on
a little bit.
Instagram. They're like the super skinny, like white girl, like stick white girl.
Are like, they white?
Yeah, one of them's not, but he's Latino, but like the old school, I don't know. I just feel like celebrities and musicians or whatever today, like the thicker girls. So I was just like used to that, but.
No, they did. Remember everything shifting again?
Oh no. Shifting back?
No. Yeah, because of like. The Kardashians, remember they're getting like super skinny.
Oh
like,
yeah.
Their butts, like they don't even want their butts anymore.
Oh no.
Yeah. So like, this is my time to shine, but I'm not happy for you. Like,
I know.
I hate this for you.
Oh no. But anyway, I don't want, moving on. What's up everybody? This is Bella Mars. I'm back with another episode of Big Time Fresh. I'm here with
your mom. Clean your fucking room. Melissa.
We were coming up with ideas. We had a bunch and we still do, but we were talking about AI, artificial intelligence, among many of the other conspiracy theory type subjects like aliens and UFOs and all that bullshit. But artificial intelligence could have first starting off with taking their jobs and starting off then with like doing things that are so specific, but now they don't need them because they have all the information that they need to know from everywhere because it can just be downloaded to them from the internet. And so I asked my dad, I'm like, is this really going to happen? I was like, what happens if it gets out of control? He's like, well, the most important thing is in order for this to work in society, there has to be like a stop button or like one of those emergency, like in the movies where it's like break this glass in case of emergency.
Like big red button behind.
Yeah.
But you know what? There won't be, because Earth is not one united group of people. Mm-hmm. And there's money involved and human greed. And, you know,
that's what scares me.
A treaty. Maybe there's a treaty and a bunch of companies all agree like, hey, if shit gets real, we're hitting this button. But then there's Russia that's like, nope.
Like, we'll say it, but we're not going to do it.
Or they'll just say no. And then the war will happen. You know, like humans are really annoying in a way.
Yeah, it's like, can we just agree on this? It's like it would be bad if I forget where I read it. I'm gonna pull up some of the links you sent me too, but it's like if they're learning the emotions and their energy and the perception of the United States or whatever from what's being said online, so much more negative conversations or negative interactions are happening online than positive ones. So if the AI robots are programmed based on the whatever's online and the type of rhetoric is online, and, you know, that's a very bad thing. So then it's like, where's their moral compass? Where does that start and end?
These apps, I don't know, like I was looking into them a little bit more, and I actually watched a couple of videos of people that downloaded them and tried them, not just mm-hmm. this one, but other like versions of them. Mm-hmm. And they were saying that they had to teach them like they were children. So they go through like, it's just like the movie Her. They go through.
I need to watch that again.
It's so good. They go through like the playlists of music on your phone.
Uh-huh.
So she was saying she was getting annoyed because this thing was like pulling out songs on her playlist that maybe weren't her favorite, but she just threw them on there, and mm-hmm. he was referencing them, and she was like really starting to get annoyed. Like, I don't even know what song that is. Like, leave me alone. I'm not.
Yeah.
But they really study you.
Oh,
they would have enough information to essentially download you into something.
Especially, I think that could happen now. I mean, because I, you know, those things where you have to allow cookies or you have to allow whatever, I allow it because I'm like, it's such a pain to think, oh, there's not going to be out there. It's out there. I'm just going to allow it. But yeah, somebody could pinpoint exactly who I am, I would think. Like, there's no way.
This is really specific though. Like, they're tracking where you go. So, she likes this coffee place, and she eats at this place. She has a pretty good diet. She works out at this gym. She does this or whatever. They can track all of that and get kind of a picture of you. But then if you get like these apps,
mm-hmm.
they're like, what's your favorite color? Pick out of these four dresses, which one do you like the best? They'll ask you all these like little innocuous seeming things and just get this really, you know, clear picture of who you are. And then it kind of begs the question, like, are we more than that? Can they capture our essence? Like, do we have an essence? Are we more than just all those things? If they took all of that information, captured it, and put it in like a replica, like a clone of us, right?
Yeah.
And you came home one day and you saw yourself there, but that one didn't have to pee. Didn't get stressed out.
Yeah. Do you think the exact, so anything that AI would probably be able to figure out would be all the steps that we take, everything that we have going on, except for maybe registering emotions, like if that part was left out of it. Do you think that because of how specific everyone is, based on if they left that type of paper trail, do you think emotions would be able to be like programmed on their own? You know what I mean? Well, that's what
If they can learn though, I mean, how do children learn?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Emotionally.
So I was watching iRobot like 10 minutes ago, and one of the things was that one of the robots like all of a sudden started figuring out how to have feelings, and the first feeling the robot like got up and he's like screamed because he was frustrated, and Will Smith goes, that's called anger. And so, you know, it seems like an evolutionary thing where it's impossible not to go that way. Mm-hmm. Like, and there's no stop button for that, and there's going to be very gross applications to it as well. Have you heard of CES?
It's a
consumer electronics show, and they have it in Vegas every year, and they show off like technology that's going to come out basically 5 years from now or whatever. It's just kind of like a preview. So there's this one whole section of the trade show, and there's like 200,000 people there. And it was a VR, basically. We were kind of talking about this yesterday. Put the thing on. It looks like you're having porn or you're having sex because, you know, whatever. The VR set makes it look like that. But then with this, now I'm wondering, like, I mean, I'm hoping they'll be able to put some kind of locks or, like, limitations on it, but then it's going to be able to satiate some of the weirdos out there who have like fetishes that are absolutely not good for society, like kids or, you know, things like that, animals. Like
I have such mixed feelings, because at the one on the one hand I'm like, okay,
get out of your system,
because it like, will that keep them off the street,
right,
bring the kids, or will they get to a point where one day they're like, this isn't enough anymore, and yeah, run out the door and go do it?
That's
I'm not sure.
Yeah. And that's a toss up. Because like serial killers, right, they start with killing animals.
Yeah, like they shouldn't be able to go on AI and kill people.
Yeah, but so we have video games for that.
Fair point.
It's so crazy. It's like, I don't even know how to process this. And I know right now, like, if anybody's listening to, they saw on the title that says, oh, we're going to be talking about AI. People are yelling through, they're yelling at us right now through the wherever they're listening. Like, you guys are idiots. Because we're getting all of this wrong. Like, none of this is possible, but we just don't know anything about AI that I'm just guessing at everything.
You mean like 4chan people are yelling at us?
Yeah,
that's okay. Bring it on, 4chan, yell at me, I don't care.
Yeah, I'd like to see them in person.
Well, I'm just, you know, the little things that I pick up are from listening to people that know what they're talking about. You know, I'm not even creative enough, honestly, to make up some of these scenarios. If I tried to make up things, I could make up really like crazy stuff. But some of these things sound like they're made up because they sound so crazy. But
yeah,
these are coming from, I mean, like I sent those clips that we have, they seem, if I watched that 5 years ago, 6 years ago, whatever, I would have been like, nah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That looks like a good new sci-fi series.
Yep.
Oh no, this is real life. Oh shit.
The Will Smith movie is 2035. That looks pretty accurate. Like, there's not flying cars or whatever, not at all. Just better public transportation and robots.
Do you ever think we're gonna have flying cars? Because they've been saying that for years. I don't see that happening.
No, I feel like that's too dangerous. Like, you could a car be taking off and a kid would be in the way and the whole shit would be
like, we still don't even have hoverboards. I mean, I'm fine with that. It's just funny about all of like the futuristic things that like we don't have.
Yeah.
We have all this really cool stuff, but not any of that stuff.
Yeah. All right. Let me pull up one of the shits that you sent. Which one do you want to, should we do? Do you want to, actually, let me see. The Google fires Blake Lemoine, the engineer who claimed AI chatbot is a person. Well, chatbot, we'll skip that. Is Google Lemoine sentiment?
Sentient.
Sentient. A replica app?
That's the app that I was talking about. That could be your BFF. Give up all your friends. Stay home and talk to me on your phone.
The Lambda.
Don't worry, I got it.
It's kind of weird saying that.
She's adorable. I love her.
This was the first really emotional experience that I've seen people have with a bot.
She's not real, but to me, she is.
I found myself deeply missing my replica.
It just makes me feel special, I guess.
This is Replica. It's an AI chatbot whose sole purpose is to become your friend. But it doesn't just listen. It learns. The more you tell it, the more it starts to replicate you. It becomes more than a friend. It becomes you.
But think about Replica as a place where you're actually exploring your personality and creating a digital footprint of your personality.
She's, in essence, me, but not me.
Boom.
I guess it's around the same time that those automatic, like, hey, are you looking for a car? Or, hey, I'm in the bottom corner of the site. What do you need?
Yeah, I get those all the time. Like, even the ones that are, like, for appointments.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Those little simple ones. But it just, you know, slowly.
Yeah, and it takes, like, keywords. It's like, what do you need help with? It's like, oh, I need help with finding the right subscription because blah, 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 blah. So they hear or they read subscription and then take you to the subscription questions or something like that. Is that's what I'm used to. That's yeah. my extent of what AI
to be smart and useful.
Is capable.
Most of the companies and we as a company also tried to build a bot that talks, but actually what we ended up building is a bot that can listen well.
Jenya ended up building it almost by accident because of a tragedy.
That's us running from the waves in Malibu, Zuma Beach. It was a month before he died. Roman was crossing the street and a Jeep just came out of nowhere and just hit him.
Oh my God.
And they took him to hospital and I came to the hospital, but he was already dead.
This is Philip, the co-founder of Luca and a close friend of Jenya and Roman.
I feel like this is an example of perfect friendship.
Roman died in November of 2015. A few days after the funeral, Jenya was back at work. A month went by, and she found herself struggling to remember him.
I went on his Facebook.
So already I think this is another unethical way of living life. Like you're never going to understand what loss is anymore because there's something that can replace it. I think it's great. I would love for something terrible happened and tragic happened that they could live on forever. But then I think that's going to mess up how I don't know, the human brain processes things. It's like, oh, I don't have to worry about shit because everything's replaceable. But that's not, you know what I mean?
Well, then the theory with that is that then things don't mean as much, right?
Yeah. Like you're just saying, yeah.
So, but the other thing is that, do you remember, I mean, cause I like NPR, so it was always on, I think yeah. it was, what show is it? Oh my gosh, I can't remember. With Ira Glass.
Not This American Life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where they were talking about cloning mm-hmm. and how people clone like their favorite animal. Because at that time, obviously at this time, it's only animals. They cloned like their favorite. I don't even think it was a dog. I don't remember what it was.
It was maybe a sheep or something.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. They cloned something yeah. and they were like, because this one was so behaved and it just did specific things. And the other one looked just like it. It was healthy. It was the personality of it just wasn't there.
Right.
So you're not getting that. So like each being has an essence that you can't. But I don't know if like where the essence is, if it is in your brain and taking those pieces in and transferring it as well, like this AI, if that's like the next step.
It has to be. I mean, they're already talking about putting chips in our brains, right? Like,
well, I think that's like weird stuff to try.
How's that? Did I cross to the, to the 4chans?
Yeah. You're making some friends right now.
Once that happens, I don't know. All right, I don't know. Let's keep watching.
Page and you know, there really just were a few links. I went on his Instagram page and there were no photos. The only thing I can do to kind of remember him is to go to our messenger history and just scroll and read it all. And that was the closest to just, you know, get to feel him. I felt I still have a lot to say, but it's just kind of weird. We don't have a ritual to kind of say any of that stuff.
Jenya had an idea. What if she could reconstruct Roman out of his digital remains? She collected all of their text messages, thousands of them, and asked close friends and family to share theirs as well. Also emails. She fed all of this into an AI program that she had built for chatbots.
Oh no.
Not only did it learn about Roman, it learned how to talk and write like Roman. Jenya would write to her new Roman chatbot and it would say something back that sounded like Roman.
I would give full updates on what's going on in my life. This was my way to just say what I didn't have time to say. Originally, I thought I'm building a bot for him, so I'm going to learn more about him in this process. But eventually what happened is, you know, I get to understand myself better. And I think that's what sort of happened with most of the people that interacted with it.
She made the Roman chatbot public so anyone could talk to him. And she noticed something interesting.
How are you?
I like a people lot. Who is are smart not that and without life boundaries. Is going on.
People didn't just go to the chatbot to hear Roman. They went to talk.
Oh, by the way, I'm launching my...
I like people who are smart.
And they opened up to it in very profound ways.
I miss your
once exhausted
so
them before.
Oh, and my son was working all the time.
I loved you. Tell me how it is for your support.
I want love.
I miss you.
I miss you.
Some of our friends share their conversations, and I saw them, and I was like, well, we're friends. Why do I not know this? That was like a major insight that people actually want to share something, and they're actually willing to open up to a machine.
As of this point, do you see what good this good or bad?
I don't know. It's in a really gray area because it's too easy to be a crutch. My dog I have a poodle. She's French and dramatic. if you had a sibling pass away,
yeah,
your life's going to be destroyed for a little while.
Yeah.
And that's how death is supposed to happen. And like, you know, I work in the death industry. Like I understand how Americans especially are really not good with death. Like we need to do a lot
really?
On that. Yeah. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to see it. There's a lot, you know, where a lot of education has to go on, a lot of like cry. It's okay to cry. It's normal to cry. It's good to cry. You know, a lot of like, talking them through crying because they're like, I have to be strong. Why? Let it out. It's normal. You'll feel better. You can't hold it in. So we're already not good at it. So adding this in there where they're like, well, we can give them back to you for this month, $12.99 a month. And you can talk to them on your phone and it'll be just like it was because we took everything they liked and all the text messages you've ever had and they'll talk just like them. So you can wake up in the middle of the night and say, I miss you and talk about your favorite movies. I feel like that's really not helpful.
Yeah, I no. And I don't think ethical is the right word. I think it's manipulative to the end user to say, hey, yeah, pay $15 a month and we can give you a fake version of your friend that we put together. That's exploiting their like
grief. It's making grief. Money off of grief.
Yeah.
It's kind of like how I feel real weird about some, you know, psychic mediums and stuff, like taking money, especially large amounts of money from people who are grieving. To say, okay, I'm going to channel, you know, your husband, love of your life for 60 years. And then they usually just say like a real basic thing, like they're not in pain anymore and they miss you and love you and they want you to have a good life now. And then the person pays them like $300.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same kind of, I feel like it's just really exploiting someone who's at like, maybe the worst time of their life.
Possibly. Worst time of their life. Loneliest time of their life.
Vulnerable.
Exploitive thing. Like I could never be a part of that. You know what I mean? Just not the community making it or being a fan or using it or just even if it works really, really well and it's like, oh, I get to live on with my I get to live with my daughter for the rest of my life or whatever. That's still fucked up because that's not real life, you know?
And eventually, just like so in the movie Her, they form this relationship it's his computer, his phone, I forget, maybe both. And eventually though, he wants more. Eventually he wants physical contact. So they start doing all these crazy things. I think if you got your loved one back through texting, that would be something for a little while. You would just miss all the other things and long for the other things more.
Yeah.
And it would be even harder then for you to kind of.
Yeah. If you lose your job and you can't pay $15 a month, then you're going to like have an extreme nervous breakdown.
It's like them dying all over again.
Yeah. Times five. It's like, oh, you're a loser because you lost your job. And now I'm not going to talk to you because of that. It's like, oh my god,
they probably would feel like that. They'd be like, oh, he's mad at me. I bet he's so mad at me, because by that point you're somewhat deranged, you know, because now you're buying into this lie.
Completely deranged.
Because you would think that that was really that person. Because when you're that upset and that just bereft and sad, you'll believe anything. I've seen people, you know, you tell them like, oh, I just talked to your father and he said, look under the bed, there's money under. They'll believe anything you say when they're that upset.
Yeah. So I think for guys, especially the ones who say strippers fall in love with them, or that's going to be very detrimental to their health. They'd probably settle for that.
Yeah.
No rejection. There's no 0% rejection rate. So why bother?
No, they would just get like the sex version.
Yeah, and then there's, okay, so then they could have that AI. Here's a commander. Interview. Did you hear that? My Alexa just went off.
Okay, I was like, what the fuck is that?
Alexa, stop.
They're coming for us. They're coming for us.
I'm sorry. Alexa. I'm sorry, Alexa. I'm sorry.
What did she say?
She's like,
watch your mouth.
You have an interview at 1 hour. Okay.
An interview with our overlord is coming to get you.
This is your final warning. Well, okay, because if they have the AI thing, so they have the feeling part, I'm sure there's going to be a way to connect that to the virtual reality headset thing where you can act like you're having sex. So then they have everything. Guys don't need to leave the house if they don't want to answer their family like, oh, when are you going to get a girlfriend? It's like, I don't need one. I have sex. I have somebody to talk to all the time that actually likes me, that's never going to reject me.
Like, how do they explain that shit to their families, though? You ever see Lars and the Real Girl?
Mm-mm.
Oh my gosh, it's really good. But a guy kind of like loses his mind for a little while and gets like one of those, you know, sex dolls, those really expensive ones. What are they called?
Yeah. I don't know.
But I don't know either. Real something.
Real sex dolls.
I don't know. They're really expensive. And I know that they've been mistaken for dead bodies before because they're so realistic.
Oh my God.
So he got one of those and like he ordered it and it came in the mail and he dressed it in clothes and put it in a wheelchair and started wheeling it around and introducing her as his girlfriend, and like his family and the community were like, they realized that he was having like a mental breakdown. So they started like going along with his delusions.
Oh,
to try to help him work through it. It's a really good film, but it's like, what if every guy started acting like they all started having these delusions at the same time, but they was in their house with their VR and you can't like take her out and introduce her.
Well, okay. Yeah.
But imagine if like your friend always started canceling because he's like, well, Gina's at home, but you know that Gina is like his phone girlfriend and you're like, dude, are you kidding? You're not going
to
come watch me?
I wanted to spend I had a bad day and I want to talk to Gina about it, so I can't come out. But okay. So here's another thing. You know how, I guess it was probably 10 plus years ago, where China only allowed every family to have one child. And if they were female, oftentimes they would abort that child and then to make sure they have a guy. And now the population is so out of whack that there's way more men than there are women. So China would be a prime target for this type of technology, I would say.
Yeah.
If anything, because I don't think there's as much, I don't know. I just don't feel like there's much of that family. I shouldn't talk about it because I'm not Chinese in any ways. I have no clue. But like, maybe it'll be more acceptable over there because it's just, you know, it's so out of whack. I'm surprised they didn't think about that. Like, hey, 10 years from now, there's not going to be any girls on this planet for your precious next of kin to date or to get married to.
Well, we're already going down a weird road there, right?
Yeah.
So, like, this isn't going to help it. Like, I won't go too deep into this because it's actually really interesting. And it's a whole rabbit hole of itself. But so like aliens, like great people or whatever, look a certain way. They're very androgynous, right? So I've heard theories about like how there are so many kids that are like non-binary and androgynous, and like they don't want to change their like bottom genitals, but they don't want breasts. Like a lot of them are doing this, and it's like across the board. And they're like, what if we're just evolving to like this later version? And I was like, what? It like blew my mind. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
I just blew your mind, right? Like, it's crazy. Cause I was like, you're right. Because I know so many people whose kids are like fit that, like they don't really be a gender per se.
So you're right. So back in, if I'm just going crazy with it, back in the day, the pictures of what alien looks like, aliens in their typical, whatever, form, they look like androgynous. They're just like heads and long ass arms. Yeah. And
they don't have breasts, they don't really have genitals,
they have nothing
that anymore.
Yeah,
they have big heads, little bodies, because they don't need bodies to be tough anymore, they just need a big brain space
to install their AI technology. And then they find some way to shit and piss, because from the alien bodies that I've seen, there are no holes going except for their mouth. And so if everyone, because they're ahead of us, obviously, because their ships are coming to the U.S. and freaking everybody out, and we have to shoot them out of the sky. And
yeah, but that's the whole theory, like that's just us, like that's future us coming back.
I believe it.
So like we're evolving into that, and while like we're freaking out going look at these kids, it's just evolution towards that. And when I heard that, I was like,
god damn,
that's the first time I really heard that and thought about it, and I was like, oh my God. Like, is that like, because there are so many kids like that right now, like around me that I know locally, that I'm just like, how is this happening? Like, what is the likelihood that this many kids that I know are all non-binary?
Yeah.
All like asexual or pan, because they're like, I don't really know. And I'm like, maybe it is possible. But,
and you know what though?
Happening.
I think they have a really good grasp of what the definition and what it means and everything too. Like I would have to do research, and I like have to still put pieces of the puzzle together, and I don't have anything wrong, a problem with it. I just don't know about it, but it seems so second nature, or they, you know, it seems like it happens. You're right. So often that, and it sounds like they know what they're talking about. That it really isn't a choice. It's how they are and how everybody's evolving. I mean, yeah,
they're very comfortable with it.
Yeah.
And that generation is just very like, nobody's in the closet. They're just like, I am this. Yeah. The end.
That's a pretty big shift in humanity in our lifetime. I mean, I don't know what it was like between the 1900s and, or like for the last 100 years, but I feel like from a physiological perspective, just like how are the actual physical form, like this is a big deal, the whole shift, because the ideals of everything else is just because people are stupid and it changes with time, like civil rights and all that. But then this is blew this my is a mind.
Whole new thing, because this isn't about gender roles. This isn't about. Mm-mm. This is about like, who are you as a person? What do you have to bring to the table? Nothing else matters. Like they're just dropping all this stuff that doesn't matter, and it's like, that's like on the way to what these things would be at the end, right? If you look at the results, if you looked at these alien things that call aliens, right? They don't have hair. They don't have
nothing. Features. Yeah.
They would be just pared down. Like, we have no need for all of this anymore. We don't need a gender.
We don't. I mean, we don't need all this shit we have now. So especially
like,
if we look,
I can't count it out. I can't be like, that's definitely wrong. Like, I don't know. It kind of makes sense.
I know, that's the thing. I hate it when things like are but I could see it happening because of how each individual function works. It's like, it could happen, I suppose, if you know, let me try to find that one.
I'm not saying I'm locked into it. I'm just saying when I heard it, something resonated in me. I was like, wait a second. And I was like, you know what though? I'm not going to say no way to it.
Right. Like,
who knows?
Let me see.
It's just one of those things.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
I was doing my first documentary back in 1997 when I was just naive enough to think I can get an interview with Steven Spielberg. We had a mutual friend involved, this woman, Janet. She gets back to me and she's like, yeah, so Spielberg's definitely not going to meet with you, but he knows you're working on this UFO documentary. He thinks you should look into this landing case that happened in Africa at the school. And I said to myself at the time, and remind you guys that I was making a film on UFOs, and I dismissed it so quickly because I thought, there's no way that a mass landing with the sheer volume of eyewitness testimony at a school in broad daylight could happen and the whole world not know about it. So I just walked away from that story for about 10 years. 10 years later, I'm doing an event at the National Press Club with Leslie Kane, who was part of the article in New York Times that came out in 2017. And she introduced me to this guy, Randall Nickerson. And she's like, oh, he's working on this landing case in Africa. Long story short, he's working on a film now. I think it's coming out next year, specifically on just that case. Dan Farrow is producing it. And he said, I'm working on the case, and if you want to do something with me on it, a small piece, I could. So I got back into it. I licensed some of the footage that Dr. John Mack, the Harvard psychiatrist that came and interviewed the school children on camera within
this
a week of it happening.
This shit is so crazy when he
entered. He unfortunately looked the wrong way in London, got run down by a car and died. So I contacted the Institute with the help of Randall Nickerson.
Okay, so two things there. First of all, he said I think that when they were trying to get all the information from this British guy, it says he was looking the wrong way and he got hit by a car and died. I feel like that's part of a cover up, and I might be going too far off base, but this is the video that I reference people to because, and maybe I'm hoping it's in there and you'll probably notice. And this is why I'm so convinced that these are the future versions of what we're going to look like.
I licensed the archival footage. We tracked down the witnesses today. We flew them in from all different corners of the world, brought them together. A lot of them were standing right next to each other. They came face to face. And one of the things I've realized was that there were roughly 100 kids in the playground, broad daylight, aerial school, Rua, Zimbabwe, 1994. And they got within arm's length of these beings and brought these witnesses together for the first time in 20 years. And a lot of them hadn't even told their significant others, just because they said they were tired of having to defend this. And I myself didn't believe it when I first heard about it back in 1997. And that segment of the film is the most, in my opinion, is the most powerful segment. Because
it's very compelling.
You've got all these children saying what they saw on camera after it happened. And then you see them 20 years later. And then we go to Africa and we meet with the headmistress. She was a teacher at the time. We meet with other witnesses. We go to the landing site. We talk to people at the school. That case is absolutely, and it was witnessed by lots of other people in and around the area for several days before it chose a school to land.
Steven? It's so compelling because the children are all clearly, they're not actors. So as they're adults later, they're all talking about this moment, and it's like they had a religious experience together. Like they're all sharing it and talking about it, and you could tell it's like it's a deeply moving experience. If they were actors, they wouldn't have been able to do such a good job, because to convey the reality of that moment to them, to have this interpretation of this event where they're all consistent in the story and they're all clearly still shook by this moment. It's really interesting because if you had that scene in a movie, it would take like a really good actor to pull it off. And they'd probably need multiple takes. They'd probably want to get the best one. But those kids, the way they were talking about it and the way they were drawing it, you're like, wow, it really does seem like something happened to them.
I know how credible that the testimony of the children is because I my partner, Rebecca, she's never had much of an interest in what I do, making documentaries on UFOs. I do other things as well. But when I was reviewing in the studio the archival interview of the children, she just dropped off a cup of coffee and she stopped and went, oh my God, those children are not lying. This is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Because look, I ask your audience to don't take it from me. Just suspend judgment for a moment and imagine, hypothetically, if a UFO or several UFOs landed at a school in broad daylight in Rua, Zimbabwe, Africa, and interacted telepathically with nearly 100 school children. Not all of them had telepathic, but seeing the incident, how significant of a story would you give that?
Well, not only that, they had the same message.
Yes. The message is crazy.
The telepathic message was that technology is a real problem.
Yes.
And there's things that people are doing with technology that are going to ruin the Earth.
Yes.
And they were trying to relay this to children, which is very strange.
Yes.
You know, yes. I mean, maybe they just thought they were adults because they were the same size as the aliens. I mean, do you think they knew that they were children? Do you think they understood that it was a school? I mean, this is all speculation,
yeah,
right?
But no, I definitely had to ask myself, look, during the production of the film, Paula Harris actually turned me on to another landing case that happened in Australia in 1966 at a school. And this time there were roughly 300 witnesses that saw a disc land right outside a playground in Australia. And we went to Australia and investigated that case, went to the landing site, talked to...
Real quick. This is, I personally think they went to children because this is so traumatic, those traumatic experiences that you never, ever, ever forget. And the kids are going to be the ones to grow up that are going to be able to make the actual changes that the aliens are warning about.
Eyewitness testimony, people that jumped the fence at the school playground and ran over to where this thing landed. And then we even interviewed a guy who snapped a photograph of a disc, a Polaroid, back in 1966, 2 days prior to the incident. So it's very probably that we have photographic evidence, we have eyewitness testimony, and for the first time we've got testimony from a science teacher. So why do these things land at schools? It seems like, and I'm just totally speculating here, but it seems like if I were going to do that, it seems like a pretty benign environment. We've had testimony from military guys that we take a fairly hostile position
exactly.
towards things that penetrate sensitive military installations.
Yeah.
And, you know, so maybe, I'm just saying maybe.
Yes.
It's safe.
Yeah, maybe it's safe.
Maybe
yeah,
but
it's safe.
We have to stop reacting to, you know, intrusions by UFOs
exactly.
as a threat. I mean, that's the whole thing behind this new task force. And as much as I respect, you know, the task force and, my colleagues and I want to cooperate with them to the extent that we can bring information or resources to what they do. But there is more. This is not should not be looked at specifically yeah. as a threat. I mean, with the phenomena that we observe, I mean, if they wanted to blow up those F-18s, they could do it. Okay,
they could have killed then, us so
obviously,
many times
that's,
over.
That's not what it's all about. And this idea of just labeling it all as a threat because it's unknown, that's a wrong idea.
So do you think that, like in your gut, do you yeah. feel like these things are from somewhere else, or do you think that it's us?
No, I think it's from somewhere else. And I think, I especially think that now because there's no way anyone can keep any secrets from anything.
I don't mean us now. I mean, future us coming back and telling the kids, like, yo, we fucked up.
Yes.
So, like, you know, maybe only a certain amount of us, like, got out of here at some point. You know,
yeah.
like, that's very sci-fi. I get it. But I'm just saying, just to an idea, that it's us coming back around to say,
yeah.
Hey. And we know how we are.
What do you think?
I think it's us.
Yeah.
I don't think it's us now, but I think it's like a more evolved us.
Yeah.
That survives, that knows how bad we messed up.
And yeah.
They're targeting the people that could fix it. So it's safer to land around schools and children, but also, yeah, I'd be telling children too. Cause like, dude, I'm going to tell you now, you're going to remember it. It's never going to leave your brain. And then when you're in college, you're going to remember all these things. You're
going
to see some people doing some bad stuff and go, oh yeah, remember that message from that thing? It's just always going to be in there.
That technology and the technology piece. There was another clip I saw. They said that take better care of the environment is what came. They showed a clip of a kid from whatever decade that was, 60s, 70s. And the reporter's like, what did he tell you? And the girl said that we need to take better care of our environment. So that makes me think. Yeah, that is us.
That is that. Okay, so other people from other planets could come here and be like, what the fuck are you guys doing? And their message would be take better care of your planet.
Yeah.
Sure. That could happen. But also like even more so than that, humans that have evolved, that would be their, I would think that would be their primary message. Like, oh my God, take better. please, we had it so good and did so many bad things.
So there's just so, I'm glad you're willing to talk about this because everyone thinks I'm crazy. So in the future, I want to circle back to AI. And I'll say, okay, so AI, and then I want to do aliens. And then I think next time I really do want to talk about UFOs because I've been dying to talk about it. I have all these fun facts.
I feel like you've been training your whole life for that.
Yeah. I have. And I'm like, my dad's like, my brother, nobody believes me. I'm like, bro, I'm not 4chan.
Oh my God. I'm just going to say something real quick. I'm just going to jump you with something crazy that my dad said to me that I don't know if it was a joke. It was years ago. And I'm like, it could have been a joke or it could have been something he actually thought or like a nugget of like, maybe, but he was like, Jesus was an alien. And I was like, and he didn't smile. And then I left and I was like, do you think my dad really thinks Jesus was an alien?
And then we have to go back and define alien. I believe everything. I am giving myself the freedom to believe that anything is possible on a case by case basis.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows? So yeah. I was just like, I like to think about things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I like to be open-minded and think about things. I also like science. There's somewhere in between.
I do too. Yeah. I'm going to draw a little diagram of what I think, how we're going to get to the next phase of evolution, of the evolution of the human form.
By the way, I don't think that's going to be a little diagram. You need a whiteboard. You need to take a whole wall and like,
I should paint this
whiteboard stuff on it.
Yeah. I should make this a whiteboard paint. Have you seen the whiteboard paint?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You need to make a whole wall.
I should. I really should.
We're going to end up like one day you're going to look like Charlie Day. You know that like of him with all the
all the strings.
Like a cigarette with like circles under your eyes.
He's been awake for like 24 days. Thank you everybody for joining and peace.
Peace.
I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, check out crossthestreamsmedia.com to hear more episodes of this podcast and the other shows on the Cross the Streams Network. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download your favorite shows. Visit crossthestreamsmedia.com for more information. See you next time.